What a picture. What a picture of intrinsic value. More to be desired than gold, even fine gold. Such is the Word of God, our Bibles, in its intrinsic value, like a lovely ingot of the purest gold. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, that's the Word of God as we experience it. Sweet to the taste, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. When I lived in South Devon, I used to preach about twice a year at a little village called Silverton, where there was a very delightful independent church. And the man who corresponded with me and invited me was Fred Rice, who was a beekeeper. And when I arrived, you, Fred, would be there to meet me. Thank you so much for coming. It's so good of you to come. And he'd have a bag in his hand with a jar of clear honey and a box with a honeycomb in it. And I would say, thank you, Fred. You know I only come for the honey. What a lovely gift, honey and a honeycomb. When I read this verse, I always think of dear Fred Rice. More to be desired are they than gold, the Word of God. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Intrinsic worth, sweetness of taste. Intrinsic worth, richness of experience. That's the Bible. Now notice in the psalm how he starts by talking about God. Verse 1, the heavens are telling the glory of God. When he looks at creation, he thinks about God. And the word that's used there is God in his transcendence, his glory, his greatness, the power that brought the cosmos, the whole universe, into existence, that maintains it in existence and manages it day by day. That lovely picture that there is in Isaiah 40, where it says every star is in its place because he calls it to be there. Not there simply by natural order, but there by divine maintenance. The God of all creation, the transcendent God, the God of power and majesty and glory. But when David turns to talk about the Word of God, now we look at verse 7, he doesn't speak about God in his transcendence and glory. He speaks about the Lord, God in his grace and goodness and love and favor to his own chosen special people. And six times over, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord is perfect. The decrees of the Lord. Are you following? The precepts of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the ordinances of the Lord, six times over in case we might miss it. The Word of God is different from all creation. All creation is a work of sovereignty and transcendence. But the Scriptures are a work of grace. For the Lord is the name of the Redeemer. God is the title of the Creator. The Lord is the name of the Redeemer. It's very difficult to remember that when Lord is printed like that in four capital letters, it's God's name, Yahweh. And I don't know for the life of me why our translators don't use it. The Lord said to Moses, look, it's time you called me by my first name. That will be a more meaningful statement to those of you here who, like me, are in the prime of life. Nowadays, young people assume that they can use what we say are Christian names at first meeting. It used to be so, did it? We called our seniors Mr. and Sir and all things like that. But there might come a time of growing friendship and growing kindliness and growing intimacy when the senior would say to the junior, it's time you began to call me by my first name. And then we would. And the Lord said to Moses, it's time he began to call me by my first name. My name is Yahweh. Why don't you call me Yahweh? And that's here. The law of Yahweh, the God who comes to us in grace and intimacy, the God of the Exodus, the God who said, I am come down to redeem my people, that God. And the word of God is a gift of grace. Oh, I have been waiting to come and say that to you this morning. The Bible is not like the sun, a work of the Creator. The Bible is God's gift of grace. Like he gave Jesus to be our Savior, he gave us his holy word so that we might know him and know what he was doing. Pure gold, pure honey, pure grace, the Bible. In the Bible, we have all we need to know about God. Will you let your eye just run down the way that the Bible is described? How much of the Bible did David have in his day? Well, in my opinion, Genesis to Judges, that bit. And if he could say these things about that bit of the Bible, how much more we can say them about the whole book, which is the gold and honey that we possess. First of all, in verse 7, it is the law of the Lord. And again, I can only ask you to make every effort to remember that the word law means teaching. In the book of Proverbs, you'll find law is what a careful father shares with a beloved son within the family. And within the family, our careful heavenly father shares with us, his beloved children, his teaching. The law of the Lord. The word decrees is a word that really means testimony. What God testifies to. He testifies about himself. He testifies about his requirements. The Bible is God's testimony, telling us about himself, telling us about what he wants in us and in our lives. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The third word, precepts, is God coming down into the, what is nowadays called the nitty-gritty, the fine details, the small print of daily life. In his word we find directions for the details of life. That word precepts would be used of somebody counting up his money, It would be used of the recruiting sergeant mustering and recording the detailed names in the army. It's a word for detail. It's used lovingly of watching over something with careful attention to detail. And in the Word of God, we have his detailed requirements for us and for our daily lives. The commandment of the Lord, the authoritative rules, regulations, and orders that he has given to us that are there to be obeyed. The commandment of the Lord. And then in verse 9, that strange one, the fear of the Lord. Why does David call the scriptures the fear of the Lord? Let me try out an illustration on you from another part of the Bible. Jacob, at one point, talking about the God that he had learnt about from his ancestors, his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac, he spoke of the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. What did he mean? He was talking about the way he had watched the reverential approach of his father Isaac to the God he worshipped, a God to be reverenced, even to be feared. And when we come to the scriptures, says David, it should be the same. We come with that awe and reverence, even with trembling in case we mishandle such a holy thing. The Word of God can be called the fear of the Lord. And then there's that sixth word in verse 9, the ordinances, as our translation has it. Our translation is not very careful about this sort of detail, and you'll find this word translated in many different ways right throughout the Old Testament of this Bible. But it means judgments or decisions. Not judgment in the sense of condemnation, but judgment in the sense of settling an issue, as though it happens in our society when people go to court and have an issue settled, and Mr. Justice so-and-so pronounces judgment. He settles the issue. It's that word. It should be translated judgments, the judgments of the Lord, the way he has settled issues and decided what's right and what's wrong in any given situation. The Lord's settlement of things that would otherwise be matters of dispute or difficulty. He has spoken to us and settled the issue. What an array of words. He has given us his teaching. He has told us about himself. He has given us the detailed commandments and enactments and precepts for daily life. He has given us his authoritative word, commanding us this and commanding us that and forbidding us something else. He has given us a word that is such a holy thing that we should handle it with awe and reverence. Oh, I feel so rebuked about that. I think of the casual way after breakfast this morning that I opened my Bible. No, that doesn't do. This is a holy thing to be treated with reverence and awe. God has made decisions and he's made them known to us for our guidance and direction. In the Bible we have all we need to know about God. And if we dwelt on other words in the Psalms, we read the law of the Lord is perfect. That is to say, it's complete. It's whole. It doesn't allow addition, and it doesn't permit subtraction. It is perfect in itself. So many other things In the Bible we have all that we need to know about God. A gift of grace, a gift of revealed knowledge, and a gift that God will use to lead us into newness of life. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, literally bringing back the soul. We're set on the wrong pathway, and we need to be brought back. It's what we would call conversion, bringing us back onto the right way, bringing us back into fellowship with God. The Bible can do that. It makes us wise unto salvation, says Paul to Timothy. Reviving the soul, making wise the simple. What lovely promises. Are you a simpleton? Please, when you come to the Bible, be a simpleton. It has a bad sense, that word. Somebody who is open to every wind that blows, who has no set opinions, who has no basic principles, and therefore who is tossed about in the world. But it has a good meaning, that when we come to the Word of God, we come with an open mind to receive whatever the Lord our God shall say to us. This is a potent book, a life-changing book. It deals with our minds making us wise. It deals with our emotions, says verse 8, rejoicing the heart, giving us emotions that rejoice in God. And verse 8 says, enlightening the eyes. David was on a campaign against the Amalekites, and he, in pursuing them, because they were on their way home, he picked up an Egyptian slave who had fled from his Amalekite master and had been left to die in the wilderness. And the man was exhausted and near the point of death, and it says that they fed him on raisins, and his eyes were enlightened. His energy came back. He came to life again. He was given renewed gusto. Do you know the word gusto? Energy for life. His eyes were enlightened. I do honestly believe our daily Bible reading can do that for us. Bring into our lives the enthusiasm of God for living. Marvelous promises. We come back then again. More to be desired than gold, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. The intrinsic preciousness, the satisfying experience of the Word of God, intrinsically valuable to possess, sweet to the taste. Next Sunday is Bible Sunday. Dear ones, let us marvel at our possession of the Scriptures. Let us savor our possession of the Word of God. Got a bit of news for you. I can see the beauty of this calendar near at hand. I don't know how much you can see from where you are. It's been prepared by our friend Richard Gabb, and all the photographs in it, which are exceedingly beautiful. You'll marvel at the skill of these and beauty of these photographs. And Richard said to me in the vestry, it's all the work of God. And I thought, it's straight out of the beginning of Psalm 19. It's not only the heavens above that declare the glory of God, but the tiny things of earth that declare his glory and his wonders as well. So there it is. It's a 2012 calendar that's been prepared from his own photographs by our friend Richard Gabb. And he's going to be in the hall when you go over there with his calendars in one hand and the other hand out. £6. And he's selling it in aid of our reordering fund. Isn't that lovely? So do have a word with Richard, and please have one. You'll enjoy every page of it all through next year. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Thank you for the marvel of grace which prompted you to give us our Bibles. Thank you, gracious Lord, that coming straight from you, this book is pure gold and sweet honey. We ask, O Lord, that day by day we may enter into its richness. We ask that day by day we may experience and savor its sweetness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue in prayer together.